Our Heavenly Father and our God, again, we thank thee for that we are in your presence on this holy Sabbath day. You have come unto us and you have given us a Sabbath day so that you may be with us. We know that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the plan of redemption, and that through his life, his shed blood for us, we have the opportunity, the privilege to have eternal life. And I pray that each one of us takes that opportunity, takes that privilege that has been given to us to be sons and daughters of the living God, and that one day all sin will be taken care of. No more death, no more sickness, no more heart ailments. So we just pray and ask for thy guidance this day, Father, for thy word that you have given to us so that we may know our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had this start out this a little different, but I'm going to just add water. We know that water is essential. We can't live very long without it. Most of our bodies are even made up mostly of water, you know. But also, we talk about the water in the Bible. We know that Jesus Christ is a heavenly representative for us, that he is the true living water that flows freely from the fountain. And we also know that blood is essential for our living. Without blood, you know that we can't live. So we know that that's why we keep having these blood drives here at the church. And so we just know that it's there. And we know that that is another fountain that is so precious to us. And that's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would turn to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. Sometimes forget where this book is, but on it, it's next to the last chapter in the Old Testament. In verse 1. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanliness. And yes, that fountain was the precious blood of Jesus poured out without measure. To see that it was shed for the inhabitants of Jerusalem at that time. We know that the atonement Jesus Christ made for sinners and by his death on the cross is a central part of faith of the gospel. You see that there. And it's the brightness that all other truths revolve around. Without that atonement, we know that we'd be lost. As Brother Elio said this morning, without Jesus, what would we know? We wouldn't know God. We probably wouldn't even be here now because we would have been there. Existence would not even have been about for us to be there. And it was taken away. The gospel was taken away. The very essence of the gospel would be gone. There will be no essence to it. So we see that. We know that faith is the ground that we have to have there. It's the basis of our sinner's hope. We are thankful for the hope that we are sinners, but yet saints at the same time. We will be sinners, called sinners, until the Lord comes and takes us, where we will put on the robe of righteousness and no more be sinners. And it was shed for humanity, all of humanity. And that evolutionary hypothesis that's out there teaching seeks to dam up the gospel message that robs Christ of his divinity and power. So we have to be careful with that, and we really truly know that God is a creator of all things. And because without it, humanity will never be restored to the paradise of God. For without blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. See that? It wouldn't be impossible for us to study successfully the abounding evidence of Christ's deity and his power, the power that he has. We wouldn't even be able to come to the conclusion that the atonement of Christ was of infinite value and efficiency. It is his atonement that is studying it. But studying the Word of God, knowing that when Jesus came at that time, God would fully not know, be able to know that. Or they would think that man, Christ is a mere man or even an angel. His death would have no meaning to a lost world. It's I can't even pronounce it anymore sometimes. All my dentures have, or my gums have shrunk, or my dentures don't quite fit me anymore. That's what happens when you get older. Some of us don't. Substitutionary death of a man or an angel could never satisfy divine justice, could not even honor a divine law, could not effect pardon for man's sin, could not ease the guilty conscience, or accomplish the salvation of the soul. Or that could not possess any efficiency whatsoever for mankind to be able to have his sins forgiven. You know, we know that if the deity of Christ could be successfully refuted, the atonement then would have failed, and all humanity would still be in its sins. So we have to truly believe in the Bible, to read it daily. And we say, and I've neglected to really do that as much as I should. I try to read some portion of the Bible every day, but sometimes I let other things get in my way. And I am just ask God for forgiveness for that, though, you know. But Christ's deity does stand. And by the radiant glory, drives away the shadow of the cross that we have. We know that the law demanded death in Adam, and all of his posterity had broken God's moral law. And we have down through the ages also, you know, today. And that the law demanded the death of the transgressor. It demands our death as well today. But if the law could be set aside, sinners could go free. Jesus would not have had to die, but Satan would have this kingdom. The kingdom would be his, and he would triumph and be in that. We know that the only way to save doomed humanity from eternal death is that because God, as man, became man's surety, assumed the guilt, and died in man's place. He died in yours and my place. God gave his only begotten Son as a ransom for the human race. We can all say amen to that. Do that there. And we know, as we read there in the Word, that when Satan took Jesus up to that mountaintop and offered him all the kingdoms of the world with their earthly glory, Jesus was successful. But as we see that, have we ever realized if Jesus wasn't successful, we would be his subjects as sinners? But truthfully, we know from the Bible that from the beginning God declared that that he would rule only those who were saints. I know it's hard for us to ever even say that we're saints, but yet when God looks at us, he sees Jesus, and he calls us saints to be that there. We are righteous to be that. But we know that God is a friend of sinners, and he wants to save every one of them. But yet he is not their God or their Father. For it says, ye are of your father the devil. And Christ is what Christ told to the ones that rejected him while he was here on this earth. Jesus came to restore the earth to his kingdom. to be the king, be the leader of this kingdom so that we could be his subjects. But that could only be done by him going to the cross, which he did freely. For us to be free from the sentence of death, he had to suffer that sentence for us. As I said before, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It must be Christ's blood and not man's that is shed. There was no other way to have it done. And it was no easy going for our Lord Jesus Christ. But he endured the cross. If you ever read the book, Behold the Man, then tells about the agony of dying on a cross. We would have tears in our eyes at all times, especially for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us and suffered the way he suffered, that intense pain that came from hanging on a cross. But he won the right to save man, to take the sin and the penalty of death for each and every one of us today, as in the past, so that we can one day soon belong to that last lost land of Eden that was to be forever and ever as Adam and Eve came forth from creation of God. They had perfect bodies, had perfect minds, but know that they were succumbed by the serpent, which they were not even supposed to go near that tree. Why it happened, we're not told. How it happened, you know, really. But it did happen in Adam's sin by taking freely of that fruit of that there. So we see there that we know that. And with his stripes we are healed. God presented himself as a sacrifice for man's sin. And we can come to no other conclusion from the many statements of Scripture, which declares that his death was made an atonement in sin for us. He paid the penalty. His sacrifice was complete. His subsequent priestly ministry was effective, that through these means the sins of his people are entirely blotted out and forgiven. We can look to the Old Testament prophecy that was our scripture reading for today, if you would, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6 again. And where it is possible, as I read these two verses, put your name in there where you can do that. It was one that, like, it was one in for Earl's transgressions and so forth. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, as we note there carefully, that our healing comes through his stripes. It was our transgressions and iniquities that he bore, and not his own. He was a sinless one, and he suffered as a sinner. And we can ask the question, why? Why did he do that? Because God had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, that our sins imputed to him, and he paid the penalty. And if you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 21. 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then also Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And then if you turn back to Matthew chapter 26, Matthew chapter 26, and verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Then we can also ask, why was this divine sacrifice made? Why did the Son of God die as a sinner? He did it for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. He was made to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. So we really do that. The blood of Christ brought redemption for us, for each and every one of us, and all that have given their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ through the ages. The cause of death was in us and not in Christ. We had to pay the wages of sin. We were under condemnation. And Jesus stepped in, took our place in punishment that we deserve. That is what Christ did for every sinner. The one who was sinless took the burden of us all and died in our stead. As I said, as a sinner, he died. Christ's identification with us, with the sinner, was so close that he actually carried the entire load of the sinner's guilt, so that we would not have to do that. He suffered the pangs and remorse and shame of the unrepentant sinner that will suffer after the door of mercy has finally closed and has to be called for the count of his life. We know that it was not his own sins, because he knew no sin, had no sin, but man's sins that weighed him down. He suffered the just reward of the sinner's guilt, just reward of each and every one of us. So we know that truly that we have to believe on the word of God, that one day soon he is coming for his people to end all this, so that we can have eternity with him for eternity and eternity. He even temporarily lost the assurance that by dying on the cross, and then that he would be raised from the dead, come from that grave. It seemed that his dying for sins on the cross would really internally separate him from the Father. And he didn't want that. He was not able to see beyond the tomb. That. We know that his own people rejected him, called for his death. One denying him, another betraying, and finally all forsaking him. Said, let him be crucified, was a calling from his people. We know that he suffered an extremely intense pain and agony through all this. But that wasn't all. For in Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But yet he was willing to take that cup and drink of the nation of God so that we might have life. It wasn't the hatred of the world or the rejecting of his disciples or even going to the cross that weighed him down. It was a fact that the Father had hid his face from him. What a time that must have been for our Lord Jesus Christ upon that cross. He was down there for about 6 hours there on that fateful day. He had taken man's guilt upon his head, He had become man's surety, and the wrath of God rolled over him in waves that no one could understand. He suffered the agonies of all the ones that had rejected him, past, present, and future. That just so that we could have life as we know, to have eternal life. I was going to put this at the end, but I think it's better to put it here. I want to read from the Desire of Ages, pages 686 and 687. He felt that by sin, he was being separated from his father. The gulf was so broad, so black, so deep, that his spirit shuddered before it. This agony he must not exert his divine power to escape. We know that he could have done that. As man, he must suffer the consequences of man's sin. As man, he must endure the wrath of God against transgression. As Christ felt his unity with the Father broken up, he feared that in his human nature he would be unable to endure the coming conflict with the powers of darkness. In the wilderness of temptation, the destiny of the human race had been at stake. Christ was then conqueror. Now the tempter had come for his last fearful struggle. For this he had been preparing during the 3 years of Christ's ministry. Everything was at stake with him. If he failed here, his hope of mastery was gone, and the kingdoms of the world would finally become Christ. He himself would be overthrown and cast out. But if Christ could be overcome, the earth would become Satan's kingdom, and the human race would be forever in his power. With the issues of the conflict before him, Christ's soul was filled with dread of separation from God. Satan told him that if he became the surety for a sinful world, the separation would be eternal. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ overcame everything that Satan had ever thrown at him. We know that it isn't the sin of a person that keeps them out of heaven. It's the rejection of salvation that will keep any one of us out of heaven. But we know that our Lord Jesus Christ did not hesitate to pay that ransom price for us by dying on the cross. He was even willing, if necessary, to lose that eternal life, to take that eternal death if he thought he could save others. What a sacrifice, what a price our Lord Jesus Christ made on that fateful day 2,000 years ago. We think about it. This is 2020. Another 11 years. It'll be exactly 2,000 years ago that our Christ died for each and every one of us. We are guilty and condemned to death. Christ voluntarily took our load, took the sin, took the penalty, and died on Calvary for each and every one of us. He gave us all in that great effort to lift the condemnation of sin and of death from guilty humanity. And we know that it wasn't at an infinite cost to pay for the world's salvation. We know that we were lost eternally without God and without hope in the world. Today, through this crisis that we're having now and the way things are, if we didn't have that hope today to get us through, that faith that God has given us also to see us through these struggling times that many of us are having. So we know that that wasn't an infinite cost to us. We know that the separation between God and man is so deep and so wide that man can't bridge it by himself. Our sins are so great that even if we had all the treasures in the world, even tenfold or a thousandfold, we know that we could not purchase pardon. But it's to really believe that our Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for us. We are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with precious blood. If you turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. And verses 18 and 19. It's like 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ is a lamb without spot or without blemish. And one day soon we'll be able to stand before our God without blemish, without spot. And we should be able to say amen also to that. Is salvation free? The answer to that is yes. We know that Christ paid the price so that we would not have to pay it. And this salvation is free. And we may accept that free gift of salvation from the hands of our Redeemer, but we have to make sure that we don't value it less, any less, because we didn't have to pay anything for it. Our Christ paid it off. And if we had turned to 2 Peter chapter 3, we are reminded here what the Apostle Peter said. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. I got two here. And especially the second part of that. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes. Christ did not die just for his own. He died for rebels and sinners. He gave his life for the world. And that clause includes all, past, present, and future. But he suffered alone. The broken law of God exacted the highest claim in Christ. He had to go all the way, even to suffer death for each and every one of us. In that faithful hour of his death on Calvary, the wrath of God was fully poured out, was tuned against him. He took the sins of the world upon himself. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Mark 15:34. We know that sin is so abhorrent to God that by divine justice, he hid his face from our Savior. We know that we are told, and have read it in the Review and Herald before, that even though he hid his face from his Son, he was there at the crucifixion, but did not allow anything else to transpire. Alone, forsaken by God, he bore our sins. And maybe we can say, why was this one? Who is this one that has suffered? And we today, each one of us, you and I, should know the answer. He was the divine Son of God, and he came down from heaven. He was a sinless one who did this so that I, a sinner, might go free. To have that freedom we know of sin off of our shoulders. What love was displayed on that fateful day 2,000 years ago. It was in my stead and yours that the price was paid for the sins of the world. And what a picture it must reveal to the unfallen worlds and to even angels to be able to see that. The Son of God, our Redeemer and our Savior, pouring out his life blood for each and every one of us so that we can have eternal life. He did all of this in order to transfer his righteousness and purity to each and every one of us and set us forever free. Do we feel that way today? Do we feel that we're free forever? Many of the things that happens to us on a daily basis may keep us from having that surety in our minds every day to know that Jesus shed his blood for each and every one of us on the cross, on the cross. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. So we know that our Savior overcame, came and was triumphant in his bid to save humanity. And it was even went unto death. And thankfully that we're going to have the privilege of studying this plan of redemption forever. How many ages will it take for us just to study the time, the 3.5 years that our Lord Jesus, or well, 31 years, but that short 3.5 years he spent giving the gospel, doing miracles, healing others. It's going to take us ages just to go through that part of his life here. So we just know that we're waiting for that time, and I pray that each one of us is waiting for that time that all of this will happen. Yes, our Heavenly Father, we think that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. This is a testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Anyone who has the Son has life. Any who does not have the Son does not have life. I have written all this to you so that you who believe in the name of the Son of God may be sure that you have eternal life. Yes, Father, thank you that we may wear the robe of righteousness soon one day, for your coming is soon. We know that the world will be caught unawares, just like in the days of Noah. But we pray that your people, your followers, will not be caught. That we will be ready for your coming. We know not the hour or the day, but we know the timing is near. As we come to the end of this life, here on this earth as we know it, we have the surety that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has paid the penalty for our sins. Go free from this place today so that you may show to the world, to your neighbors, to your friends, to the workplace, that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you from death. In Jesus' precious name, amen.